From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. This year's Nobel Prize for Physiology or Medicine goes to the British researcher who developed in vitro fertilization. The winner is 85-year-old Robert Edwards, a professor emeritus at Cambridge University. NPR's science correspondent John Hamilton joins us now. John, can you tell us more about what Edwards did to win this prize?
Well, the end product of what he did was a little baby named Louise Joy Brown, who was born in 1978. She was, of course, the world's first so-called test tube baby. And literally millions more test tube babies have been born since then. What led up to that was that Edwards worked in the lab and collaborated with a gynecologist named Patrick Steptoe, and together they figured out how to remove an egg from a woman's body, fertilize it in a dish in the lab, and then implant that fertilized egg back into a woman's uterus.
So, John, is it unusual for a Nobel to be awarded more than 3 decades after the research that it honors?
No, in fact, it used to be pretty typical that people would be well into retirement before they got their Nobels. In recent years, that's changed, but in this case, we're going back to the old pattern.
So, John, what's been the impact of Edwards' IVF research?
Well, it's sort of hard to state how big a deal this has been, at least in developed countries where people have the money and technology. About 1-2% of all births each year in the U.S. and other developed countries are a result of IVF developed by Edwards.
Thanks, John. NPR's John Hamilton in Washington. The U.S. Supreme Court opens its new term today. NPR's Nina Totenberg reports the addition of Justice Elena Kagan means that for the first time ever, there will be 3 women sitting on the bench.
Although 37 Republicans voted against Kagan, a great deal of predicting about what sort of justice she'll be is just guesswork. Based on her record in the Clinton and Obama administrations, most court observers expect her to be a centrist liberal, but on some issues, she could be more conservative than the Republican appointee she replaced, Justice Stevens. Bottom line, expect the court generally to maintain its current ideological tilt strongly rightward. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
The State Department is cautioning Americans traveling in Europe to be aware of their surroundings and take measures to protect their safety. Democratic Senator Charles Schumer of New York says this travel alert is based on information indicating that Al-Qaeda may be planning attacks in European cities.
This is not about some specific act that's imminent, but they do pick up so-called chatter on the lines that says somebody is focusing something in Europe, this in this case Al-Qaeda.
Schumer says authorities in European nations as well as Japan are calling for increased caution by travelers. Commuters in London scrambling to find alternate ways to get to their jobs today. Workers on the city's subway system are staging a one-day strike. This is NPR News from Washington. About 20 tanker trucks carrying fuel destined for U.S. and NATO troops in Afghanistan have been set on fire by suspected militants in Pakistan. NPR's Anthony Kuhn in Islamabad reports it's the third such attack since last Friday.
A spokesman for the Pakistani Taliban told the Associated Press that the Taliban was responsible for opening fire on a convoy of NATO fuel tankers parked at a refueling terminal and then setting them on fire. Several truck drivers were killed. The Taliban has also claimed responsibility for an attack which destroyed nearly 30 tankers in southern Sindh province last week. The convoy hit today was headed northwest to the Torkham border crossing. Pakistani authorities closed that crossing last week to protest cross-border incursions by NATO helicopters. Over the weekend, Foreign Office spokesman Abdul Basit said that Torkham would reopen once the security situation shapes up and public anger simmers down. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Islamabad.
A new study finds that people who work on their laptops with the computer on their laps for long periods of time could suffer from what's being called toasted skin syndrome. Dr. Jane Grant Kells is chair of dermatology at the University of Connecticut Health Center.
The chronic heat causes changes in the epidermis, the top layer of the skin, as well as in the very superficial dermis and blood vessels. And those changes make those areas of skin more prone to the future development of skin cancer.
Grant Kells, though, says the condition is generally harmless but can cause permanent skin darkening. She says laptop users should place a pad under their laptop or use a lap desk to shield themselves from the heat. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.